Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of Be Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you. Amen. Are you blessed now? I must say you look better than when we started. Amen. Praise God. I'll give an opportunity for an offering and to worship God with that what we have as well at the end. And I want to get into the Word of God this morning, and I want to speak and stir your hearts, but I believe God wants to come and just align ourselves again. Because I want to ask the question, how do you measure up in life? How do you measure up? Because we all measure, isn't it? Whenever we're together, we measure one another. We see, is that one better than me? Or, we keep on measuring one another. So before you answer the question, maybe how you measure up, I want to maybe start with this. What is the measure that you use to measure yourself? What is the measure that you use to measure yourself? Because there's certain things that we measure ourselves, but if you use the wrong standard to measure, you're going to never attain or require or come to that place where you come to the full measure, is it? You're never going to measure up. You're going to constantly feel that you fail if you use the wrong measure. So what do you use to measure yourself? Because what we use to measure ourselves is extremely important, isn't it? It's so important. You mustn't be quiet this morning. Otherwise, I can make it very long and slow and we can, Amen? Okay. We'll speed up, Pierre. Amen. What do you use? Because here the Bible says, Ephesians 4, let's just look at that. It says, it starts with, walk in a manner, come on, worthy of the calling which God has called you with. You all know that God has called you with a calling. Amen. Do you believe that? God has, that side is awake. This side, do you believe that God has called you with a calling? Amen. 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 And it says, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Verse 13, how? Until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, and it says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So there's a measure of Christ that needs to be formed in us. There's a measure of Christ that needs to be developed into us. We need to grow up and attain that measure. Come on, He wants us to become men and women measuring up to the stature of Christ, isn't it? It means the frame or the figure, the fullness of Christ. So if we quickly look at, do we measure up, then we all fail, isn't it? It was like, okay, we're nothing like that yet. Maybe you're very Christ-like already and we want to get you to even be more Christ-like. Amen? That's what we want. We want you to become more and more and more like Him. But sometimes there's things that we use in our life to measure and then we struggle. So how do you measure yourself? Of what measure do you use to measure yourself? So what we measure ourselves by is important. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12. I'm reading now. I think they're going to have the ESV, but I'm going to read from the Good News. Is that the Good News? Amen. Great. Look at what it says. Of course, we would not dare classify ourselves or compare ourselves with those who rate themselves so highly. How stupid they are. They make up their own standards to measure themselves by, and they judge themselves by their own standards. Wow, so they've made a law for themselves that they can measure up and measure themselves by their standards. So there's a man-made standard, there's a world standard, but then there's a God measure, there's a God standard. There's a God measure, and I want to speak a bit on the God measure this morning for you. And how do you measure? Do you measure with a God measure, or do you measure yourself with a world standard, with a man-made standard? Because if you use an inadequate measuring standard, we'll measure ourselves, but we will always be inadequate, isn't it? When we attain to that measure. And when you measure yourself with a wrong standard, when you finally get there, you'll never be fulfilled. You'll never live in fullness because we measure with the wrong measure. And the world does it. Jeremiah 10 speaks, we're going to read that, of a world or a nation that measures themselves by the standards of their false gods. They measure themselves by this. Let's read. I'm going to read from the CEV, the translation. It says from verse 2, don't follow the customs of those nations who become frightened when they see something strange happen in the sky. Their religion is worthless. Now listen how they measure. They say they chop down a tree, they carve wood into an idol, they cover it with silver and gold, then they nail it down so that it won't fall over. An idol is no better than a scarecrow. It can speak, and it has to be carried, or it can't speak, sorry, it can't speak. It has to be carried because it can't walk. Why worship an idol that can't help or harm you? Verse 6, our Lord, great and powerful, you alone are God. Jeremiah speaks and he says, how stupid are you, man? That you carve an idol out and you plate it with silver and gold, but you have to carry the thing around, you have to nail it to stand up straight. Why do you worship something that can't speak, can't walk, nothing? He says, the only thing, our God is powerful. Great, that's the one to be worshipped. Israel, they were measuring themselves against the standards of the world. So the prophet comes and he speaks and says, you've got the wrong measure. You use the wrong measuring tool, the wrong stand. You measure yourself against the measuring rod of the world, idols and pagans. And neither should we, come on, measure ourselves by the standards of the world. How many of you struggle? We have that saying, keeping up with the Joneses. Joneses, isn't it? There's no Joneses here today, is it? Otherwise, we would have turned this into a deliverance session. But we measure ourselves and we're trying. Sometimes it's like we don't even know what's chasing us, but we're just trying to keep up and you don't even know. And the Bible says it's only a godless person that runs without knowing what's chasing him. That's a godless person. So does it make sense for us to measure ourselves with what he says, the equivalence of a scarecrow? That in a melon patch, that's one of translations. It says you put up a scarecrow in a melon patch and you think like that's going to scare the birds away. And you measure yourself by a scarecrow in a melon patch. That's exactly what we do. When we measure ourselves by the standard of the world, you actually measure yourself by, like that, a scarecrow in a melon patch. Do you want to measure yourself by the measure or the equivalence of a dumb scarecrow in a melon patch that cannot talk, that cannot walk, that cannot think or do bad or good? Do you want to measure yourselves against that thing? Like you have to answer. I can't continue now. Can't continue if you don't answer. Yeah, thank you. I'm just astounded, so now I'm speechless. You see, idols are made to worship. They're made to worship, and we become like that what we worship. You look like that what you worship. That's what the Bible says, is that's why we are made in the image and likeness of God, because you are the crown of His creation. And He speaks in Corinthians that as we worship and as we behold Him, we become more like Him. We are transformed from one glory to another the whole time, isn't it? You look like that, but you worship and what you behold. So now, you behold the scarecrow, you become dumb and lifeless like the scarecrow. If that's what you worship. You measure yourself against the wrong standard. How do you measure yourself? That's my question. What measuring standard do you use? What gives you a sense of worth in life? Is it your material things or your bank account or your elegant house or the car that you drive? What gives you, you know, your status, or what gives you purpose in life? How do you measure yourself? The clothes that you wear or the intelligence that you have, all these things? What's the measure that you use that like, I'm okay? What gives you identity and purpose? Is it the things that you have and the belongings? What is it? Because Solomon in Ecclesiastes, he says, he reminds us and he says, all these things are vain. It's all in vain. All in vain. He says, if you measure yourself by that what is vain, you're going to become vain, isn't it? You know that song, eh? You're so vain, you think the song is about you. So if you measure, that's what Solomon says, that when all chasing all these things is in vain. And when that's your standard, you become vain. What is a worthy standard of measure in our life? What do we use? Jesus even says this, if you own the world, that even couldn't give you a true sense of your worth. nothing can actually do. Come on. Nothing in this world can give you an adequate measure or perfect measure to measure any person by. Jesus says this in the book of Matthew 16, 26. He says, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" And the answer is nothing. Nothing. That's what he says. Even if you have the whole world, it couldn't give you a true sense of your worth. When you start understanding this in the right, you know, framework, that even if you have the whole world, that cannot purchase one soul. It needs to shift your understanding of what your real worth is in life. That even having the whole world is not enough of your worth and your value. Jesus came to give you life. And that's intriguing about Christianity, is that the value is placed on somebody who gave his life for us. Jesus, who gave and saved us. That's your value and your worth. Someone who gave his life for you. But it's even bigger, because he says if you own the whole earth and the world, that's not even enough. You see, the principle behind the second commandment, the Ten Commandments, the second one, God wants to give you actually the right perspective of or an adequate view of your worth in your life. The only way that you can do this is when you see yourself as God sees you. Have you ever thought and sit down to think of how does God see you? We always say this: if you don't make time to think deeply, you will always act poorly. We need to make time to think. Have you ever sat down and really thought deep enough of how does God see me? Not just what's your view of God, but what's God's view of you? How does he see you? Because you become that which you worship. So he says in Exodus 20, when he gives the law, he says, verse 4, "You shall not make for yourselves" what? "A carved image." Why? Because you look like that which you worship, and you're not that. Come on. "Or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or under the water." Why? Because you don't look like that, because you look like that which you worship. He says, "You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Why? Because he's jealous, because he made us in his image and likeness. And you look like that which you worship. And he says, "I'm jealous because I don't want you to look like anything else, because that's not the standard. That's not the measure that I made you with. I made you to measure to the fullness of Christ. I made you to look like me, to reflect that as you behold, you start seeing the reflection. As you behold, you become." He says, "I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." The God of heaven has power, wisdom, understanding, all these things. And if you want to live a life of power and wisdom and understanding, you need to worship God. You start looking like that what you worship. You start becoming that what you behold. So Jeremiah 10, he goes and he says in verse 6, "There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of nations? For this is your due, for among all the wise ones of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. They are both stupid and foolish. These instructions of idols is but wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Upas. They, the work of the craftsmen and of the hands of the goldsmith. The clothing is violet and purple. They are all the work of skilled men, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath the earth quakes, and the nations can endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods who did not make the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens." God made the whole earth. He made all of creation. There was a God measure from the beginning of creation. God had a measure. God values measurement. Isaiah 40 verse 12. God relates His sovereignty over creation with the measurements, using measurements. This is to show how He's sovereign. Listen, Isaiah 40, 12. This is what He says. He says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, or with the breadth of His hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? He used measurement to show His sovereignty. Am I talking somewhere else as well? Is that the children's church? Or? Oh, I thought I hearing myself preaching somewhere else as well. Isaiah 40 verse 15 says this, surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. God uses, in terms of His sovereignty, measurements. There's a God measure. And He wants us to measure with that same measurement. It's a poetic language with the prophet. It's a figure of speech. But then also it's a reference again that leaves us with the understanding that God values measurement. God values, listen to what He says. When God comes, you know the story of Job and everything, how he's tried and tested and he loses all these things. And at a stage, Job has also got questions like, God, where are you? What all these things? And God replies to Job, but not in the justice or what he wants. This is how he actually replies to Job, and he gives him perspective of his power, of his presence in reference to measurements. That's how he replies to Job. Listen, Job 38, 4 to 7, he says this, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand who marked off its dimensions. Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footing set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. God answers him with measurements. Hey, I'm sovereign. Where were you when I laid the foundations and stretched out all this and measured it? But sometimes even in the measure of our own lives, we fail to trust God because we have certain things that push us and chase us, and we need to attain certain things, and we measure us by a worldly standard. But God says, hey, slow down. There's a God measure. Do you measure up with the right measurement? Because when you measure with the wrong measurement, when you get there, you're going to fail. You're going to feel that you've achieved nothing. Because now suddenly you hear, but it's not fulfilling. Because there's a God measure that God wants you to fulfill. Why does God want us to worship Him instead of idols? Well, you look like Him and not like the idols. Because you look like that what you worship. You become that what you worship. And you were crafted in His image and likeness. That's why He says, I'm jealous. I want to protect that. I even want to help you in your way that you cannot help yourself. Is because I know how I formed you. That's what He says. He says to Jeremiah, even before I formed you, I knew you. So I had a plan, and I know what you should look like even before I even formed you. I had the plan. And God knows He's got a measurement for your life even before you were formed. Come on. And Romans 12 says this, verse 3. This is from the CSB translation. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Paul writes this to those of us who have received Christ's mercy. And he says that should change the way that you lead your life. There's a different measure. And Paul writes to start saying, hey, you need to start seeing yourself as you really are. You have to start measuring yourself in the right way. That's what Paul starts saying. with the right standard and with the right tool. We work with meters and millimeters and centimeters. And if you have one tape from the US, then you're going to have inches and all these things and feet, and you're going to be frustrated because you're never going to measure the right thing and you can't even convert properly. That's why Paul starts saying, in your life, there's some tools. There's a standard. That's what you need to align yourself with. By nature, human beings inflate our perception. We've got an inflated perception of ourselves, isn't it? You think too much sometimes of yourself, because we're always at the center of yourself. You measure everything and your standard against your own perspective. And God wants to change that to His perspective, a God measure in your life today. And Paul says, one of the ways you need to be transformed in your mind. You have to develop the ability to accurately and truly see yourselves as God says. To see yourself accurately with sober judgment. That's what he says. And Paul doesn't say, learn to think of yourself as terrible and, you know, of nothing. No, no. You know that funhouse mirrors? Or like the playgrounds or the mirrors when you go and then it makes you all thin, or you can make you big or different shapes. You know that mirror? And what Paul is saying is actually, hey, let's step away from the funhouse mirror that causes us to either look big and important and full of ourselves. And let's get to a place. It takes faith, come on, to see yourself objectively. Why faith? We must see ourselves as God sees us, and we need to trust God to do that in us and through us. You see, you can't do it. It's a work that God does in you. It's a work that God needs to do in us. God has worked for each one of us, and we need to spend our lives doing the service. That's why it says, walk in a manner worthy of your calling. That's what God has for you. Walk in a manner. So an inflated view of ourselves, measuring wrongly, only gets in the way of the truly powerful things that God wants to do in your life. If you use the wrong standard, it comes in a position of what God really wants to do through you. 1 Samuel 16, how does God measure a man? How does God measure us? You see, we look at all the things and that one is big and that one is strong and this one, and we look outwardsly. But the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16, it says, God doesn't see as man sees, isn't it? For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God measures with a different standard. He first looks at the heart of man. Your heart is the condition. Your heart is the place where life flows from. So what's the condition of your heart? If your heart is not right, your measure is not right. How do you measure the worth of another person? For everyone, it's going to be different. You may think that when you're successful, it's awards, money, happiness, popularity, how many likes you get on social media, all these things. No. Maybe success is truly to be what God calls you to be. Living His word. Maybe accepting His forgiveness. Knowing His truth. Maybe it's experiencing the freedom that God gives you. Being His child. Maybe it's to walk in faithfulness. God doesn't see as man see. We look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. The heart speaks of a person's character, isn't it? His courage, his spirit. So often we measure the worth of a person just looking at the outward appearances instead of what's really, God looks on the inside. He looks at the heart. So if God, then I'm going to start slowly ending off. It's cold today. And they say, winter is like a pastor who does proper 10 landings when he closes a sermon. You know, it comes back and it comes back and it comes. So I'm starting to end off. That's the first one. So if God looks not as we look, but God looks at the heart, I want you to look at your own heart and then ask, how do I measure up? How do I measure? If God measures the heart today, how do you measure up? What's in your heart? What's going on? Do you measure up to a God standard? If you examine, if there was a heart exam today, how would you do? What marks do you get? What kind of heart would God find first in you? This is the good news of the gospel. See, if you don't like what you see, God gives us a new heart. God comes and He says, hey, through faith in Jesus, I give you a new heart. What is it that you see? When you start doing things with the right heart through Christ, we begin to measure the worth of others God's way. When you have the right heart, you start seeing others the way God sees them. You start measuring the God measure. You don't compare anymore. You start seeing how God sees. Come on, our measuring stick is Jesus, the Son of God. He's the measure of man. Come on. When there's a measuring line, you cannot be in the middle line or the middle ground of a growth curve. When there's growth, you either grow or you die, isn't it? It's a lifelong process. May you continue to just grow and grow and grow. But we always say this, healthy things grow. So God wants to heal you and have you a healthy heart, all these things that you can keep on growing. And sometimes God's going to touch our pain. Sometimes God's going to come and press His finger on that thing that irritates so that it can come out. How many times you speak and it's like a little word slips out of your mouth or says, oops, I didn't know it was there. But that thing was the whole time in your heart. That thing was there. God wants to heal that so that you can measure up to the stature of Christ. A God measure that He's given you. Jesus is the perfect measuring stick. I'm just going to touch on a couple of things and then we're really done. That's number two. Let's look at one of the words. It's not going to be all on the screen. Walk upright and in integrity. Not as the world do, but as Christ has called you. 1 Peter 2 says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. That's one of the measures. Walk as Christ walked. 1 Peter 2:21. Another measure is to walk in love. John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. It's one of the measuring sticks and one of the lines that we can measure ourselves. Do we have the God measure? Do we walk upright in integrity? Do we walk in love? Keep true to His word. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. One of the measuring sticks or God measure is become a servant. Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, verse 5 to 7. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. Christ, the one that we say today, the King, the Lord, became a servant. There's a measuring line, a measuring to serve. Colossians 3:13, he says, there's a God measure to forgive quickly. Forgive quickly, he says, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. Just pause there for a moment and think all the things that you've done. What has Christ forgave you? What are the things that He has forgiven you? Are you glad that you found mercy? Are you glad that He forgave you? And He says, there's a measure that God requires of us, that even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Do you measure up with a God standard? Do you forgive? Do you let go? God has got a certain standard. He says, carry the right yoke. There's a God standard, Matthew 11. Come to me, 28 to 30. All you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come on. God comes and gives rest. Jesus didn't come to say, I've put more burdens upon you. He says, take my yoke, for I'm making it light. Christ in me, that's what he wants, so that you can walk in a manner worthy of the calling, measuring whatever you do with the right measure in your life. And that's Ephesians 4. Paul exhorts Christians. He says, hey, I want us as believers. Are you a believer? Are you a believer? Come on. He says, I want you, everyone as a believer, to measure yourself against the standard of Jesus Christ. He's our standard. And he says, so now you measure and says, as you grow up, that you can look more and more like him. Because you cannot achieve anything of yourself. It's Christ in him. That's why he says, abide in him. And as you abide, he will become more. You become less. Baptism, repentance, receiving the Holy Spirit. We have Christ's mind in us. Come on. I have the mind of Christ. That's what the word says. You can think like him. So may we begin to think and act more like him. Again, you are in the image and the likeness of God. The Christ measure to measure your life. Maybe we should start looking. Are you measuring your life by how it reflects God's glory? Is your life reflecting something? Or do you have a diminished view of who you really are? God has got a purpose for you. Amen. Remember, you are the crown of his creation. God loves you. You are made in the fullness of his image. But now we need to grow up to that fullness and that stature of Christ. I want to encourage you to start measuring yourself correctly today. And let God change your heart to use the God measure when you look at others. You start looking at people. That God does something in your heart and in your life. Not to have a skewed or wrong or perverted view of the world. Not to measure yourself against the standards of the world. And this is the good news. God calls you to even a higher standard. His standard. But all things are possible through him. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bechurch.co.za. We're formed to function. Let's be church.